Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Hello, everyone. Dr. Jennings is with us via Skype. And Dr. J, you recently wrote a blog called Victory Through Intimate Love, and you included this statement at the very beginning of it. You wrote, "This is our power, the power of intimate love from and in God that enables us to break away from the fear and selfishness of this world." Unpack that for us on today's show. What do we need to know about intimate love and about breaking away?
The real journey for the Christian is one of heart transformation, renewal, and change of the motives of our operation. The core elements of the carnal or fallen or sin nature are fear and selfishness, me first, exploiting others, driven by fear. And this is why the Bible talks about being reborn or being recreated or having a new heart and right spirit. It's about having a transformation of the motives that drive our actions. And the victory does not come through cognitive fact knowledge, even if it's the right fact knowledge, like Jesus is the Son of God, our Savior. Factual knowledge about God, His power, His goodness, His love, and so forth, the facts of that do not save us. Satan knows that God is the Creator. Satan knows that Jesus is our Savior. He knows those facts. So factual knowledge is not transformational. It's the experiential knowledge. And the difference between fact knowledge and experience knowledge, you may be able to study, for instance, the facts of the mechanics of swimming and be able to understand buoyancy dynamics and these types of things. That doesn't mean you actually know how to swim. See, know how to swim is different than knowing about swimming.
Yes.
And knowing God is different than knowing about God. And so our salvation comes in the intimate relationship in which we experience God's goodness and love in our hearts. We identify with it and we become like Him in how we practice. So the power is the power of love that transforms us and allows us to make decisions that overrule or override the fear that tempts us.
Now, Dr. Jennings, I can almost guarantee you that if you sit down in the pew of a church and you listen to that service, you're going to learn facts. This is what God is. This is how God acts. This is what God does. This is what God looks like. This is what He's going to do. How do you teach what you just said in an atmosphere of a group gathering in a church?
How do you get to know your wife? When you first met her, you probably might have even learned some facts about her you even knew her, before you were introduced. Yeah. Somebody, you might have seen her and somebody said, "Who is it?" "Well, that's her. She's so-and-so. Where's she from?" "She's from this place." "Well, if you're in school together, what's her class schedule? What's she interested?" You may learn some things about her before you even meet her. Isn't that true?
That's true. Very true. Yes.
And the things you learn about her could, depending on what you learn about her, could increase your desire to meet and get to know her, or could cause you to say, "Nah, I don't really think I want to get to know her."
Yes, true.
Isn't it true?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay?
Yes.
So the preaching of the word and preaching about God, there's a place for that to teach people or lead people to know that He exists, who He is, what He's like, what He's done for us. These facts will then hopefully lead people to say, "I'd like to get to know Him." Okay, so you have to go beyond the facts, though, to the actual intimacy. And that's what Jesus meant in John 17:3 when in His prayer He said, "This is life eternal, that they might know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent." This knowledge is not head knowledge or fact knowledge. It's the intimate knowledge. When Adam knew his wife Eve, she conceived and gave a son. And you know your wife in ways that the rest of us don't.
Right, yes. Okay, so going back to my illustration, the preacher, he or she should be fully aware of the fact that the job of the minister, the job of the witness, the job of the missionary is to provide facts, but in a way that would motivate someone to want to know more, to experience that. How do you do that? I know you do this in your practice. Tell us how to do that in our lives.
When it comes to the experience of God's love, it cannot be obtained for us by anyone else. Any more than physical strength in your physical body can be attained for you by someone else.
That's true.
Now, you might see a great athlete and recognize the benefits of regular exercise, and seeing their healthy athletic body may motivate you to go exercise, but you, if you want to gain strength, must exercise for yourself. Likewise, we might see a pastor or other Christian person that has, through their experience with Jesus Christ, experienced love, joy, peace, patience, and other spiritual fruits. And we may look at that and go, oh, I long for that in my life. I want that peace. I want that joy. But it can't be attained for us by someone else. We can be inspired by someone else, but at the end of the day, we have to engage with God ourselves in order to gain strength and knowledge of God. In the same way, there are what I call the God's design laws. In order for you to gain physical strength, you have to exercise your muscles. In order to gain mathematical strength, you have to exercise your neural circuits and practice math. Music ability, you have to practice your musical instrument and your brain circuits grow and you will gain musical strength. If you want to gain capacity for love for God or anybody else, you actually have to engage in experience, relationship, and choosing to act in love toward God and other people.
You have spoken a number of times on this program about sexuality and intimacy in sexuality. And you told a whole group of young people once that when you are intimate with someone, there are changes that take place in your psyche. There are actual changes that take place in the way you feel about yourself, the way you feel about the other person. Is that also true in spiritual intimacy? Are there changes in our hearts when we are intimate with Christ?
Not just changes in our hearts, but also change in our neurobiology. Mm. Our brains change when we love and trust, and they change in very positive ways versus when we are distrustful and fearful. So when you're distrustful and fearful, anxiety circuits fire. You get elevated adrenaline and stress and blood pressure and heart rate. When you love and trust, you calm those circuits and you grow healthy factors. Proteins are produced that help your brain stay healthy and your body stay healthy. So very positive things happen when we engage in love and trust with a person who is worthy of our love and trust.
Right, right.
So as we choose to trust God, and our trust in Him will strengthen, and we will advance from children. And think about you as a child or any child you know that loves and trust a trustworthy parent. They grow, though, from a 5-year-old, 10-year-old, 15, 20. I love and trust my mother still today.
Yes.
But it has developed an intelligent love and trust rather than simply an emotional and dependent love and trust of a child. And so as we grow, God wants us to grow from children or infants up to mature Christians that He, Jesus Himself, in John 15:15, invites us into understanding friendship with Him, that we not only have this love and trust for God, but we have understanding of how He operates and can intelligently cooperate with Him to fulfill His purposes.
You're saying that intimate love grows. It becomes more than it began as. Are there any instances in the Bible like that?
In the example of the apostles, James and John are called sons of thunder.
Yes.
But then you read later how people marveled that they had been with Jesus. Their lives were transformed by their time with Jesus. And you read the epistles of John and the gospel of John, and you see nothing but the power of love being manifest rather than the power of thunder. If you remember the questions, and even Peter took out the sword and hacked off Malchus's ear, later talks about the self-sacrificial love and how love is the power that gives us victory. So you see this transformation happening. But as we become these friends of God and advance His kingdom, it is antagonistic to the methods of the world. Understand, the methods of the world are power over. It's I'm afraid, I won't get mine, somebody's going to hurt me. So the more power I have that I can either defend myself or force my way on others, then the safer I can feel. And so as we advance the kingdom of Christ, we will experience exactly what Christ and the apostles experienced, and that is the powers of the world will hate us. And so we will end up being rejected. We will become under more pressure. People will lie about us. They'll accuse us. We'll be vilified in the media. Police powers will be used against us. We'll be condemned. And you see this through history. All of the really godly people, whether it was Old Testament, whether it was Christ, whether it was the apostles, whether it's the Dark Ages, all the people who advanced the principles of truth, love, and freedom end up being persecuted by the people who love the power of the state, the power of coercive force over other people. And how were the people of God throughout history able to be victorious? And that's the name of the blog. The name of the blog is Victory Through Intimate Love. They were victorious not by also embracing the powers of the state to fight back, they were victorious because of their love and trust in God. And they were able to love their enemies, pray for those who abuse them, forgive those who wrong them. In other words, they did not become infected with the same principles of fear, self-interest, hate, antagonism, and want to use more power than was used upon them to punish the wrongdoer. Exactly the opposite of the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, which Jesus called them out on. He said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. And that is how, as we approach the second coming of Christ, these two methodologies are going to become more and more clear. The people who love truth, love God, love others, and love freedom, and will not use power to inflict their way upon other people, will be oppressed and abused by those who want to advance their view of what's right through the power of the state and through intimidation and control and force. And we will be tempted, sorely tempted, with this fear and this, it's not fair, an outrage, a righteous indignation, it's not fair. What they're doing is not right, and it's not. And we will be tempted to retaliate against those who do us wrong, and that is where we have victory, not through retaliation, not through force, but through love, through grace, through forgiveness, and through trusting the outcome to our Savior.
Sounds like you're redefining what victory is when you have Christ in your heart.
Well, and ultimately the victory, and I want people to understand this, when you're being attacked, when you're being treated with injustice of any kind, it is through truth and love that we are the victors. But notice, what we overcome is not others. We overcome victoriously the infection of sin in our own hearts, the fear and selfish drives that tempt us to want to use the very same methods that we hate being used upon us. We want to retaliate back and punish those who've done us wrong. We have victory over those methods in our own hearts. One of Satan's biggest traps is to incite people to do wrong and then instill this desire to seek justice or to do right by using the very same methods upon the wrongdoer that was used upon us: force, coercion, inflicted punishment, harm, rather than love and forgiveness and grace, and trust God with the outcome.
This is a very personal victory, I hear you saying.
And this is the victory of the saints. And it says in Revelation 12:11 that those who are translated, who have victory over the beast's power, these are they who do not love their life so much as to shrink from death. They're not driven by protecting self, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, the life of Christ and their testimony to the truth of Christ. They did not love their life so much that they retaliated in order to protect themselves.
And what a beautiful example we have in Christ for what you just said. Christ was the epitome of that victory through intimate love, because he loved us intimately. We need to love others intimately, but Christ loved us intimately. Can I say that?
Well, there's no question that Christ did. The question is whether we respond to that and then have an intimate connection with him.
Yes.
And those who were lost, he said, "Get ye hence, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." They didn't have that intimate friendship.
All right. What a wonderful thing we have here. God is calling us into an intimate relationship with him to enjoy that intimate love and then to share that intimate love with others. Victory Through Intimate Love is the name of the blog that Dr. Jennings has made available, and that's at commonreason.com. Just click on the blog area there, and you can find that, as well as listen to these programs. So again, if you want, lots of resources available, lots of videos to look at, radio shows and podcasts to enjoy, all at commonreason.com. This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministry. Dr. Jennings, who joined us today via Skype, thank you so much for sharing with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Charles.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.